Well, you are listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss, and today we have a powerful episode prepared for you. Pastor Mark Burns will be with us speaking about the recent verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial in the killing of George Floyd, a video that all of the nation watched in horror as George Floyd died on camera several months ago. The verdict has come back guilty in all counts. Different political and religious leaders from around the nation have been speaking out regarding their thoughts on the topic. And LeBron James tweeted out something that is just so shocking. It was deleted within a few hours of getting it posted. Anyways, Pastor Mark Burns is here to talk about it all. You're not going to want to miss it right after this.
Virginia teachers, take the lead in education with up to 64% off your graduate degree at Liberty University. This year has forced you to innovate, adapt, overcome, and you've not only risen to the challenge, you've crushed it. Now help education emerge from this crisis stronger than ever with your MAT or MED degree. Our transfer-friendly degree programs are 100% online and start as low as $282 per credit hour. It's our thanks for all you do for our future. To learn more, text TEACHER to 49595. That's TEACHER to 49595.
And you're listening to the Charisma News Podcast. This is Jeff Struss. We are interviewing Pastor Mark Burns. He's the president of the Now TV Network. He pastors in South Carolina, was a speaker at the 2016 Republican National Convention, and was labeled as Trump's top pastor by Time Magazine. He's a man of God and is anointed for this moment in time. Pastor, great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jeff. So happy to be with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and so appreciate your ministry and what you're doing in the nation to serve our country. And I just want to jump right in. I know you're on a tight schedule, but we all watched, I did a video on this on Charisma News about the trial, and I think I said, you know, that the whole nation, I feel like we were holding our breath during this trial. I was in Atlanta in just a few days after the presidential election of 2020, and I saw all the businesses boarded up, everything boarded up, everything abandoned. It looked like a ghost town. And I think, you know, this trial was one of these moments where we didn't know. First of all, you don't know what the jury is going to say. And then second of all, I think collectively we're in a little bit of a PTSD here with the just incessant rioting. And there's all this fear about that we're just sitting on a powder keg that's just waiting to explode. Pastor, I'd love to hear, what were your thoughts as the verdict came out? Again, Derek Chauvin, he was found guilty of unintentional second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. The maximum sentence for the most serious of those is 40 years in prison. Pastor, your thoughts?
Well, you know, Pastor, again, thank you so much for having me on Charisma and all the things that you're doing for the kingdom and Charisma's doing for the kingdom and bridging the gap for very sensitive issues just like this. You know, like myself and millions of Americans who were glued to the television for the verdict, you know, it's really not, I'm not shocked of the verdict. And as you said, Pastor Jeff, you know, this country is really waiting to explode. To me, I think, you know, former officer Chauvin was essentially guilty by popular demand. And when you have public officials such as Maxine Waters, who essentially according to the judge, gave right for the defense to essentially file for an appeal based off of her comments to say, if we don't have justice, then we're not going anywhere, essentially threatening the legal process to demand a guilty verdict or else. There is no way to interpret that. To essentially say, if you don't find him guilty, then we will burn the city down to the ground.
Right.
And that's the situation that we're in right now. And that's really that I'm concerned. I mean, again, let me just say this. Number one, any person, any evildoer must be punished. And let me just say that, whether they're black, whether they're white, red, Hispanic, if they are evildoer, they must be punished. Number two, it should be done by a jury. The jury should pass judgment and not a mob led by, you know, Representative Maxine Waters or anyone that is demanding for a guilty verdict. It should be done by a jury of our peers. Number three, it should be done with equal judgment. It should, you know, again, all races should be judged equally, regardless of race, black, white, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. It should be done race down. Now, from waste, based off of what I've seen with my own eyes, Officer Chauvin did something wrong. And he, you know, he could have used different methodologies to, you know, to restrain George Floyd. Let me just say this, and of course you see this going across the internet, and I'm just going to make a point to this.
Sure.
You know, George Floyd, you know, George Floyd is absolutely one of the reasons why he was killed that day. His own actions led to his death, had a huge part to play in his death. Had he simply just obeyed the officer's instructions, I believe he would still be alive today, without question. The methodology in which Officer Chauvin did led to the death of George Floyd. So no one should be fearful of that situation. They should be able to, unless they are in a violent situation where they're trying to hurt themselves or hurt someone else, just like what happened in Ohio, and we haven't even begun to talk about the 15-year-old young girl that was shot by the white officer, and now people are calling for his head, even though the black 15-year-old was about to stab another black woman. To me, it almost suggests that the liberal left or those who want the head of this white officer is okay for allowing that. Would have been okay if that black girl would have stabbed the other black girl. What suggests to some people that black on black crime is acceptable. You can kill a black person as long as it's not being killed by a white officer. Which leads to deeper and more troubling situations, to where even right now, there's so many white people in this country right now who truly, deeply are not racist. They have no racist bone in their body. They love all races. They love all people. And especially to the Christian population, they love, they're Jesus followers. And so Jesus commends us to, number one, love our God with all our heart and all our mind. And second to this is to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That's Jesus out of his own mouth. And so, but yet we are now living in a society to where the messaging is coming across that says in today's time that black people seem to hate white people. And it is positioning white people into a place to where they are automatically having to go on a defense before they say anything.
Yeah.
And this is a charge that I understand so many white pastors and so many white Christian leaders are, you know, are in this predicament to where they are becoming fearful of speaking, thus saith the Lord, in fear of the backlash of being labeled a racist or someone that despises black people.
Yeah.
That's the powder keg you're speaking about, Pastor Jeff,
yeah,
that is boiling and building. And I said it on Twitter yesterday, and my video has went viral on TikTok. I think we had a quarter of a million views as we speak, and it's still growing, that the danger of what's happening, and unless we have more leaders like you, Pastor Jeff, and more organizations like Charisma and more white leaders who are bold enough to just begin to say, thus saith the Lord, regardless of whatever backlash, that God commands us to love our neighbors and to deal with race issues according to the scripture. If we don't have that, then eventually there is going to be some type of a race war into which I believe we're in the introduction of it right now, to where right is being silenced. And especially if it's coming from a white person, is being silenced. And that's dangerous. It is extremely dangerous. So, now, I know people will read this or watch this and say, how can a black man say this? This is as though that I'm Uncle Tom, and I am a betrayer of my own race, and I am race-hating or self-hating myself, when that is on the contrary. I believe that my first citizenship belongs to the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And for me, I am a child of God. I belong to his kingdom. I'm a citizen of his kingdom first. God just blessed me to become a black man in America. I am blessed to be black.
Thank you, Jesus.
But that doesn't stop me from being proud of my race, but also, but more importantly, proud of my citizenship of the Lord of to the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. You understand what I'm saying? And so it is on that authority, Pastor Jeff, that I speak this, because it is not God's will for us to pass on the message that says black people today hate white people. And that's exactly what's happening. I mean, just think about it. According to the Chauvin case, there have been many black officers that have done things wrong, and yet nothing happens to them on a national level like this. That's where I draw the line. I think all wrong should be pointed out, regardless of race or color, all wrong. If it was a black officer that killed George Floyd, and trust me when I tell you, there have been plenty of black people that have been killed at the hands of black police officers, or unarmed black people have been killed at the hands of black police officers, or Hispanic officers, or Asian officers. Misconduct has taken place by all races of police officers, but yet only the white ones are being pointed out. So what's eventually going to happen is this, and listen to this warning, and hear this word from the Lord. What eventually will happen is, if we continue as a nation and as a media circuit to continue to create the message that suggests black people hate white people, white people need to walk on eggshells and be careful what you say, or we will label you as a racist, that the race war, that is the powder keg that you spoke about, will eventually erupt. And what will happen then is, whereas white people are now on the defensive, eventually they will become on the offensive and they will start hitting back. And that's the danger that Satan is using.
Yes.
That's the weapon that Satan is using and weeding himself into the lives of white people who are not racist, but they are tired of having to be on the defensive. And they are tired of having to justify themselves or explain themselves or apologize for themselves when they don't have a racist bone in their body.
Yeah.
Eventually, they will get tired of doing that. And they essentially could become the racist that we created.
Yes.
And that's what's happening. And eventually, white people will start to hit back. And that's the danger into what I believe is taking place. I believe that the jury voted right by convicting him. But it's hard to not get past the fact that I believe he was found guilty in the public opinion, led by mainstream media. And not necessarily by maybe his intent, because it's very hard for me to believe that he intentionally tried to kill George Floyd. But I believe that he should have been found guilty, whereas so much that he and others like him would not wear a badge. Because, you know, again, but I'm going to see this as a caveat. I think George Floyd, you know, is the main reason why George Floyd is dead, because George Floyd was under the influence of drugs. But he also was not complacent and compliant. And if people forget, George Floyd was a criminal. And that doesn't mean that he should deserve to die, but the reality of it is he was not complacent. He did not follow the rules. He did not do what the officers say do. And that's where we head into a very, very dangerous place. You know, the reality of it is until men and women of God began to speak up, and I'm speaking specifically to my black brothers and sisters and my white brothers and sisters, you have to be bold in the Lord Jesus. You are a kingdom citizen. You belong to the great I Am.
That's right.
He is the ultimate authority, and it is on his authority that we speak, not Republican authority, not Democrat authority, not liberal authority, not conservative authority, but the kingdom authority of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I mean, what you're saying is outstanding. You're the first person I've heard on the national platform that you have, Pastor, that has articulated my deep concern, which is ultimately what is happening right now. While the language is under the guise of justice, it is actually provoking and promoting deeper divisions, hurt, pain, that ultimately, if we keep going down the road we're on, it's going to lead to something far worse. And again, you articulated it, which is my deep concern, is that if you take any people group, demonize them, provoke them, call them, there's going to be eventually confrontation emerges, because there's a limit. There's a limit for everyone. And so I'm 100% with you. I thank God for your boldness, your courage to speak up. I've held several roundtables on this event, on this topic rather, around race with other pastors and leaders. And before I had these roundtables, I gave disclaimers in the room. I said, guys, every one of us, you're probably going to say something not perfectly correct. You're going to misspeak in some level. But right now, we have to give space for people to articulate how they're thinking, how they're feeling, and not require perfection in their articulation. Because right now, there is a culture that is demanding perfect speech. And so what happens, and this is my thought, and I'd love to hear your thought, there is a fear on the men and women of God. They say, well, listen, there are so many booby traps, so many landmines. If I start talking about this and it's outside of the official woke doctrine, I'm going to get crucified in my church, politically. I'm going to be taken out. And I think that fear is driving the silence. Of course, you know, everybody loves the dead prophet. It's the prophet that's speaking currently that we all have trouble with. But I hear from you, you're saying, pastors, leaders, Christians, men and women of God, please don't be silent. And speak from a kingdom perspective.
Absolutely, Pastor Jeff. That's exactly it. We just have to get to the point where we say, though he slay me like Job, God, yet will I trust you. My trust is just completely, my trust is just completely in you. I may lose friends that I never really had. And Lord, right now, I only want people that really have my best interest in my life. You know, if they're not solving problems for me, then eventually they will cause problems for me. And so I don't need people who, you know, who just puff me up, Father. I need real soldiers who are going to get in the trenches with me and going to help me spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because this is a spiritual battle. And this is just one of the tools and the avenues that Satan, the real author behind all of this, is using. And the only way for us to defeat him is following Jesus' example himself when he was tempted, that he fought Satan by simply using the word of God. And every attack that Satan did, Jesus responded with God's word, not his own words, but God's word. And so for every Christian, believer, leader, and I'm speaking also specifically to my white brothers and sisters, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful at all, because the same God that delivered you from your alcoholism, from your pornography, from your sexual immoralities, from your alcoholism, your drug addiction, the same God that, oh, glory to God, the same God that walked with you in the deepest, darkest places of your life, your suicidal thoughts, but he healed you, he guided you, he pulled you from those darkness, is the same God that will stand before you and can defeat, you know, CNN and MSNBC or a false label of being called a racist. No, though God, you slay me, Father, I trust you, Lord. And I know it's easier to say that than to do it. But now this is a time that we Christians need to bond together,
yes,
not based off of our race or political affiliation, but solely based off of the word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. And if we believe that, then let us open our mouths and speak against the evil that's separating our country and creating this race war. If you're white, don't be fearful to say what is right according to the gospel. And I don't care if people call you a racist.
Yeah.
They call Jesus everything but a child of God. We know this. And so if Jesus can walk and carry the cross, so can we.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, my brother, there is a resurrection coming.
Come on.
We'll come up from the ashes.
Come on, we got to believe it. And that the word of God is clear. He himself has become our peace. He has broken down the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles. Well, Jews, that's one category. Gentiles, Pastor, that's you, that's me, that's the rest of us, that's everybody, all the races, all the colors. He has put peace in his body. And as people of the kingdom of God, we got to go from heaven to earth. We got to say, Jesus, you have established peace between the people's groups. What God has joined together, let no man put apart. We are not going to allow this hostility, racism, division, confrontation to continue, but we're believing for God's kingdom to invade this area of our world. Hey, real quick, because we're about at the end, but I do want you to speak on it, because you mentioned it, you've already addressed it. Your video on it, like you said, over 250,000 on TikTok, and that was put up about 12 hours ago. LeBron James tweeted out an image of one of the officers at this shooting in Ohio, where a young lady, a black teenager, was trying to stab another black teenager. She was shot. LeBron James tweeted out a picture of one of the officers, and his tweet said, "You're next, hashtag accountability." I just want to read this real quick, because your tweet said this, Pastor. You said, according to LeBron James, it's okay for a black girl to stab and kill another black girl, but not okay for a white officer to defend the life of the other black girl. Black-on-black crime is acceptable in the eyes of the liberal left. They're trying to start a real race war. You've already touched on it, but just as we close, can you just tell us what was behind your motivation to make that video and send out that tweet?
Well, first of all, my prayer goes out to the 15-year-old girl that, and the 15-year-old girl's family. Makia Bryant was her name, and she was in foster care at the time of the of this killing. And I want to say this: the 15-year-old Makia Bryant was, in fact, trying to stab another teenager, another black girl, and I think what the officer did it was a heavy, heavy, heavy burden on the officer to have had to kill or take the life of a child. And he's had to carry that for the rest of his life. What person in their right mind would be happy for taking anyone's life,
right?
You know, but even worse, of taking a child's life. 15-year-old Makia Bryant was about to stab another black teenager. an officer made a quick, hasty decision, what I think was the right decision, which is to quickly pull out his weapon and fire to save the life of the other black child. For LeBron James, who is, it saddens me greatly for someone who has such an influence around the world, to essentially target the life of one of the white officers to say, you are next. Accountability was essentially a death threat, not just to him, but to the countless of men and women who serve faithfully in the law enforcement agencies across this country. For me, that suggests that LeBron would have rather for the 15-year-old black girl to stab to death the other black girl that she was about to attack. That seemed to be more acceptable for him and others who have joined the bandwagon by screaming, black women lives matter. Yes, they do, which is why this white officer took action to do what he was trained to do, which is to pull out his service weapon and to use it in a death, life or death situation. In that case, that's what happened. But unfortunately, LeBron texted this picture out of this person. And of course, he quickly deleted it, but he left it up there to where we all was able to see his thought process. And LeBron is not the person that we, you know, something happened in him where, you know, he's not a unifier. He's becoming a person that's very divisive. And that's part of the danger that we're giving right to this. And what saddens me even more so is that his sponsors, they're not going to pull their sponsorship of him. They're not going to, you know, the NBA isn't going to fine him or ban him, which they should. No, he's going to be celebrated as a hero. Maybe even get more Nike commercials or Reebok commercials for his strong stance of celebrating the fact that this officer should be held accountable for doing his job. And the message that sends out to every white officer who are in heavily black populated areas where a lot of crime happens between black on black people, should they allow the black person to commit the violent crime so that they themselves won't have somebody like LeBron James put them on blast and notice, and now everybody thinks this person is a racist and he's out to kill black women and black children? The image that is being portrayed by the mainstream media, again, is suggesting to white people that black people hate and despise white people. And you have white sympathizers who just don't want to be labeled as a racist or jumping on the bandwagon. And yet they don't understand they're part of a more divisive problem that is happening in this country. I mean, you're having black only dorm rooms in colleges right now. I mean, that is the complete opposite of what people as Dr. King and Dr. Abernathy and Rosa Parks and those who fought the countless of numbers of black and white volunteers during the height of the civil rights movement fought so that we can have equal representation and equal rights in this country. But yet we're going backwards by creating so-called safe spaces away from white people.
Yeah.
And colleges are allowing that to happen. That is not God. That is Satan, who is the author of confusion. LeBron James should be held accountable the very same way that we fought to hold Lil Nas X and his Satan shoes accountable. Yeah. We're going to fight to make sure that LeBron James be held accountable for threatening the life of not just that white officer, but every officer that wears a badge and that does their job to protect and serve.
Well, it's incredible. And of course, you were just referencing, or actually our last interview was on that topic of Lil Nas X and the devil's shoes. And you know, God used you in a powerful way for that topic. You actually made a big difference and had those canceled. And I believe that as men and women like yourself continue to stay strong in the Lord and speak forth his word, regardless of the fear of the repercussions, we're going to see awesome things that we've never seen before. We're going to see Jesus do miracles in our day. And God knows we need his miraculous power for the healing of our nation at this time. Pastor Mark Burns, so thankful to have you on today. Hey, if somebody wants to follow you, see what you're doing in the nation or in your church, how would they connect with you?
Well, I would love for people to continue to support the Now Television Network. We're in 236 million homes around the world on cable television and on satellite, 83 countries. And so thenownetwork.org. But also, follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at Pastor Mark Burns and TikTok. I would love for to engage with as many people who are watching and they want to continue to see what the Lord is doing. I'm always posting on social media. Also, you can go to markburns.org. Send me a letter or send me a message. I would love to hear from you. So, anyhow, I love you, Pastor Jeff. Thank you so much for Charisma. Thank you all that what you guys are doing for the body of Christ.
Hey, it's always an honor to have you on. Thank you so much for making the time. God bless you and the work that God has you.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Take care. Bye. You've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast, one daily news story well told. Make sure to subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. God bless.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.